The Department of Agriculture and Fisheries has worked closely with the agriculture industry during the COVID-19 pandemic to ensure growers can maintain a seasonal workforce while meeting their public health obligations. Queensland has led the way with a trial of on-farm quarantine arrangements for workers from Pacific Island nations with the lowest risk of COVID-19 transmission. The first cohort of workers arrived in Queensland from Tonga in late October 2020. 84 of the 152 workers on that flight went to Craig Presler's farm in central Queensland. Craig's company, 2PH, are suppliers and exporters of premium citrus and table grapes. The unique circumstances of the pandemic saw them having to focus on public health and take responsibility for the strict quarantine of their workers when they arrived. Joining me to talk through their experience of the ins and outs of on-farm quarantine are Craig and his research and development manager, Andrew Miles. Craig, I'll go to you first. What did you have to do to prepare for the arrival of the workers?
We had to advertise to do labour market testing to ensure that there was not positions for Australians, or that Australians weren't looking for work, and if they were, give them the opportunity to take up those positions. If there was a shortfall or unmet demand, then we could look at the recruitment from Seasonal Worker Program or PLF.
Craig, after the workers arrived, what worked well?
For me, what worked well was the engagement with QDAF, Workplace Health and Safety, Biosecurity Queensland, Queensland Health, Queensland Fire and Rescue, Queensland Ambulance Services, Queensland Police Services, SDS, Central Highlands Regional Council, the local airport, the local disaster management, the Brisbane Airport, Federal Police, Border Force. The interaction with all those people worked well to ensure that we got a good outcome, because they all looked at it with their own set of eyes and gave us input ahead of time rather than critique it after we'd started. They did it before we started, so if there's things that we needed to tweak, that worked very well.
Craig, with all the preparations you had in place, can you tell me about some of the unforeseen problems and how you solved them?
One of the unforeseen problems was they ran out of tobacco. So you've got to make sure you're going to provide them with tobacco, because you don't want them then deciding that they're going to have to get their tobacco their own ways. Now, that's only a minor thing, but those are the little nuances that you just get when things are raised by workplace health and safety or biosecurity into sanitisation. Is it before or after? The way the paperwork is handed in, and when they're counting the people, are they counting the people before they get on the bus, or is the bus driver counting them as they're getting on the bus? There were only minor things, but there were some little things that we just needed to fine-tune along the way.
Craig, what do growers need to be mindful of if they're applying for these workers?
You have to be mindful that you've got to do what you say you're going to do, and you have to be mindful that this isn't just like getting workers as we have in the past. This is workers that are coming into a quarantine situation, and they must then work whilst they're in quarantine, and you've got to have thought ahead and prepared all the fine details, and you need to create checklists for yourself and for your team that's going to be helping you, and make sure who's accountable for what and that it gets done in a timely manner. And then you can't become complacent. You've just got to keep going back and rechecking every single thing 2 and 3 times to make sure that you've got it right. And the other thing I'd say, you've got to be mindful of that whilst we're growers, we think that we know all the little anomalies, we should engage with our people that are going to actually carry it out and ask their opinion on what will work and what won't work. And if they see there's any obstacles or challenges, because they're going to be the ones that have to make it work. And they do come up with some good ideas, and we haven't thought of them because we're looking at it through a different set of eyes, from a grower's set of eyes. But the man that's got to drive the tractor or sanitise the equipment, you've got to be mindful of how he's going to then get all that product, where he's going to get it from. And there's a lot of those little things you've got to engage with everyone along the way and make sure that we don't get only through the old way of doing it. It is a new way of doing it. And number one thing is you've got to do what you say you're going to do. I guess from a grower's point of view, you've also got to take your obligation seriously under what Queensland Health directions were to make sure that it's success. But you've also got to make sure and go on above and beyond and respond to the workers' welfare and well-being, because they're challenging times for these workers as well as they are for the growers. So you have to be prepared to go above and beyond for their welfare and well-being.
Thanks, Craig. Andrew, I'll get your perspective now. In your role, what did you have to do to prepare for the arrival of the workers?
I think the first critical thing that we had to make sure that we had in place were our existing health management plans and accommodation and transport plans. Every farming business should have had these in place for quite some time during the pandemic. But once we were looking at going to this next level, it was really critical that everything that was in those plans was up to date, all the processes were still running well. And then once we were happy that everything was still moving along nicely there, we were prepared to then go to the next level of preparing our actual on-farm quarantine plan.
What about in terms of on-farm infrastructure?
The requirements under the guidelines were really that the let's say the physical quarantine measures had to be proportional to the likelihood of risk. Obviously, with on-farm quarantine, we're not in a major city to begin with. And in the case of our particular quarantine facility, we're a couple of kilometres out of town. We have no immediate neighbours. And so what we could use there was simply some temporary fencing and adequate signage, as well as adequate supervision from some of our staff that were embedded within the cohort, as well as our general farm staff as well, just being aware of the situation. Also critical to that is making sure that the local Queensland Police Service and organisations like that are well aware and are part of the planning process for making the on-farm quarantine work.
What did you have to do to the accommodation? What were the preparations that went well?
So fortunately for us, the accommodation that 2PH has is already at a level that it could easily handle the number of people that we had. The key changes, I mentioned the temporary fencing as one kind of security measure. So we did things like make sure that in our communal areas, we had physical marking on the ground for maintaining physical distancing within the group, limiting the number of people that could be in any of the kitchens, for example. A lot of scheduled cleaning and sanitation of all the facilities, which comes with, you know, a lot of logging of the cleaning activities, just that sort of thing to make sure that the accommodation side of things was well taken care of. In terms of the workplace out in the field, it was really a matter of setting things up so that equipment was assigned to that quarantine cohort. So that could mean anything from obviously tractors through to portable toilets. And they were all marked with colour coding to make sure that everyone knew that those pieces of equipment are for those workers. And the workers themselves wore a specific coloured vest to identify them to each other and also to other staff to make sure they steer clear. Although I will say that pretty much at all times, no other people would have been working within any less than, say, 500 metres of that working quarantine cohort.
The on-farm quarantine program is a trial, so it will be tweaked as we move forward. Tell me about some of the unforeseen problems you encountered and how you solved them.
Yeah, I think some of the smaller details are the things that are easy to overlook. We had assigned buses to the quarantine group for their 14-day quarantine period. Naturally, at some point, those buses are going to need refueling. So that was something that we hadn't, you know, ahead of time put in place a process. So obviously, these buses can't just be driven down to the local service station and filled up. So it was a matter of working with DAF to come up with how we could make that work. So we had a few options available to us, such as a portable tanker and also on-farm fuel bowsers. And it was just a matter of working together to sort those sorts of issues out. Fortunately, for the most part, there weren't a lot of things that I don't think went terribly unwell. Maybe some tweaking around the level of paperwork that's required and who requires that paperwork. For us being part of the trial, there was a lot of working out the processes as we go. We had things in place like their daily health checks. And so it's just a matter of making sure, okay, well, what agencies on a given day want to have a copy of that each day through the 14-day period. When it came to testing for COVID-19, one of the issues was that our earliest day we could do testing towards the end happened to be a Sunday. And through talking with QML, who are our commercial provider, they wouldn't normally actually send samples on a Sunday to reach the lab in Brisbane. So in that case, we actually arranged our own transport to make sure those samples got to Brisbane first thing in the morning so we could get those results as quickly as possible. So really, it's about identifying those problems and dealing with them both through good communication.
What do growers who want to be involved in the trial need to be mindful of?
I think the thing that'll be maybe surprising to a lot of growers could be just the level of documentation that's required. Now, that's not to say that documentation's a problem. It really does need to be there. But I think it's important to be prepared that good document management is going to be important. And making sure that, you know, when forms are being filled out, they're being filled out properly and accurately. Because we just need to document things like the movement of workers from the quarantine accommodation to the workplace, ensuring that there's no incidents that occur along the way, but making sure that growers have planned ahead to be able to document those incidents if they do happen. Just little things like if we do get a flat tire and a well-meaning citizen decides to help, we need to be able to obviously have a process to move those people on, but also have a way of recording that that happened, get their details so any tracing that might need to be undertaken can be undertaken.
This trial is about making sure that labour shortages are addressed. How has it helped you cope with the labour shortages that you were facing?
It's helped a great deal, in particular because before even going down the road of on-farm quarantining of workers from the Pacific, we had to make sure that there weren't Australians that could have undertaken the work. So through all the market labour testing that has to be undertaken, we saw a big gap in available labour. And so the next step was then the on-farm quarantine process that we're talking about. And by bringing the workers in, it's allowed us to make it through this grape harvest season in quite good shape. It's been a hugely important part of getting through 2020 and the year of this pandemic.
The on-farm quarantine trial is obviously new for growers, but it's also new for the workers. How did they adjust to the new arrangements?
They did really quite well, and there are a number of things that I think were important in achieving that. First of all, was making sure that before they even left home, they were well aware of what the situation would be when they were arriving in Australia. There was a lot of pre-departure briefing and information material that was provided. And to ensure that that information was as useful to them as possible, it was provided to them both in English and in Tongan. Another part of making them feel, or not making it feel as unusual as it could have, is making sure that we had actually included some workers that were already present in Emerald, that have been working for 2PH for quite some time, to be present at Brisbane Airport when they first arrived. And that just meant there was a familiar face, but also someone who spoke their language and could explain anything that needed explaining to make them feel, you know, confident that while things were similar to their normal arrival to Australia, the differences, like the presence of the police and numerous other agencies, didn't make them feel uncomfortable. Then those staff joined them for the quarantine period and spent the 14 days with them as well. Now, the other big important component is that under the guidelines provided by Queensland Health, it was important that the workers actually undertook work. And that was critical to them in the sense that they're earning and they're going through a fairly normal work routine that'll mean that the quarantine process isn't that different to their normal working life as part of the seasonal worker program. And a further incentive, if you will, was that all their costs during the 14-day period were met by 2PH Farms. All their accommodation costs, meal costs, all those sorts of things were covered, which meant that not only were they earning while they were here, which they hadn't had the opportunity to do at home for quite some time, they were also not having to meet so much of their costs. So financially, it was a good win for them as well.
And do you have one key piece of advice for other growers who want to be involved in the on-farm quarantine trial?
I think the first step is communication. I've mentioned that a few times. So talk to all agencies involved and talk to other people such as ourselves that have been through it. And then the next step is to plan and probably plan again and then plan a little bit more and make sure you can, you know, work through and think of as many of those little problems that could arise as possible. So try and avoid those unforeseen problems. And then finally, collaborate, work together with the government agencies. And finally, it's really important to do everything that you say you're going to do. And then on top of that, go the extra mile again, and you've got a good recipe for success.